Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoff Nation podcast show. Oh. Listening to that Knockoff Nation podcast show. Hello, JT.
Hi. Hi, Josh. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Ken has left the podcast. We have, I don't know what we've done. We've done something, but he's gone. And I think the last I heard about him was he was in Myrtle Beach. He's in Myrtle Beach with some bros.
And yeah, be careful.
I don't know if he's ever going to come back, especially after what we did to him with the whole Helen, Georgia thing, you know?
Well, if he thinks there's swingers in Helen, Georgia, just wait till he gets to Myrtle Beach. Because there's all sorts of lawlessness going on in that place.
Hey, Helen just canceled their Oktoberfest, man.
Ooh, really? That seems a little bit preemptive.
I had like seven people tweet me about it after last week's podcast. They were like, hey, somebody check on Rhubarb Brown. So thanks, you guys.
I've heard from a lot of people, not just you, but a lot of people I know have been to Oktoberfest in Helen and said it's a good time and they need to go.
Listen, I'm just a goober from Georgia, kind of like you. And so I've never been to like Munich, you know, I've never been to Europe, you know. I've not even been to like an Oktoberfest in Colorado.
Yeah.
I just feel like that's more cultured than Helen, Georgia.
Yeah, I've got 1,776 reasons why I don't have to go to Europe. Okay, I'm not going to spend my money going over there.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know, and so it's fine. But that's what they said is like, oh, people drink beer and you watch people like throw logs through the air. You know, like, okay, all right, whatever.
When I went in 2006 and I still have my little shot glass that says like Helen Oktoberfest 2006. I went with Jeremy Pilcher, a good buddy of mine living in Canton, Georgia now. And, dude, I'm just saying, like, they had a actual German band. Like, they had just gotten off the plane from Germany.
So they got, wearing
Lederhosen. They like, had, like, the long, like, Ricola flute thing.
Were they doing, like, is the polka stuff German? Is that, I think that seems German. That's, like, accordion, like, with the
There are some accordions, I think, involved in German music. Yeah, a little bit. Like, I feel like Hansel and Gretel, you know, kind of accordion.
Yes.
You know, lots of cleavage, lots of the you know, the female.
Female version. Yeah, that's
German.
That's
a thing. Yeah, the female German clothing for those events involve like the boobs pushed way, way up to like your chin.
Oh, that's right. Like,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yeah. Like kind of like a you see like Swiss, like the Swiss lady thing, and it's tied up and their boobs are pushed all the way up here. They have basically, like the garter thing on, and so it shoves everything up.
Yeah.
Looks really painful, to be honest with you. Really uncomfortable.
And not to get all granola on you, but honestly, like Helen, like outside of Helen, low key, some of the best hiking in Georgia. I'm just saying, you get Ravencliffs Falls, great, great camping, free camping, Ravencliffs Falls. Google. I think I did like one of those shooting the hooch things about that.
Yeah, I like staying indoors. I'm a house cat.
I understand.
Because you know, years ago, people used to live outside, and they said, well, "Screw this! I'm building a city." And here we
are
today.
That's exactly how I feel about paddleboarding.
I'm building a boat.
Like everybody now is like, I'm gonna get a paddleboard and I'm gonna, you know, go and get some gluten free, you know, IPAs at the brewery and then like go on a float. I'm gonna float on my paddleboard, you know. And I'm like, yeah, they invented canoes.
Yeah. Well, you know, I went to college with a bunch of guys who want to be surfer bros, and they like the whole vibe of, you know, Eddie Aikau paddleboarding stuff.
Like surfing's cool. It's a little different to me, but like I'm talking about like you're in Rome, Georgia, and you're going to the lake, and instead of a kayak, you're gonna pick a paddleboard.
Yeah, just sit in just get a kayak, just get a canoe like a normal person would.
Exactly.
Yeah, I thought you meant like ocean paddleboarding.
No.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
No. You know what I'm talking about? You've seen these losers, right? Like, and now they're like at REI, and like you see them at Academy Sports.
There was a dude.
Like, it's like a whole industry right now.
I went whitewater rafting one time in the upper Ocoee, which is the hard part, and some knucklehead was doing paddleboarding. Like, this is class 5 rapids, and this crazy person is paddleboarding through the whole thing. like, okay.
Now, that's cool. That's, you get a lot, that's,
he had something to prove. That. Yeah, I mean, I was like, what? Why? Why? They're like, what are you?
Yeah.
What do you have? What? What's wrong
with you? Where I'm from, in Rome, Georgia, there's this whole, like, paddleboarding crew. And I can totally talk junk about them because, like, Joe and Chrissy, are they're like my relatives. Like, it's, yeah. I make fun of them to their face about this. But they'll go on, like, these little paddleboarding ventures and they'll Instagram about it. And it's, and they're on, like, a just a flat lake, you know? And they're paddleboarding. And I'm like, you could be sitting out. And I'm not going to say his name, but, like, the guy that used to own the paddleboard shop in Rome, who also used to be a bartender at the Cheetah. True story, and told me really interesting stories about Pat Burrell, which was one of their his.
He used to date a porn star, didn't he?
I didn't know that. That makes sense
yeah,
now.
I think he did.
I had no idea, but apparently Pat Burrell was, according to my friend who used to bartend the Cheetah. I don't think I'm supposed to tell this actually, so I hope he doesn't listen. But Pat was apparently like one of his favorite guests, and it was just like everybody loved him and he tipped well and stuff. And years later, when this gentleman owned his or opened up his paddleboard shop in downtown Rome, Pat Burrell bought one of the first paddleboards from him, and he got it shipped out to I think Arizona, which I think is where Pat lived. All that to say, my buddy who used to work at the Cheetah, who is a big paddleboarder, tried to sell me on it. And he was like, dude, what's really cool about it is you're not sitting down. You're standing up the whole time, you know? And I'm like, but that's why I don't like it. I want to sit down.
Yeah, that's the point. Yeah.
That's all I ever want to do. I want to sit.
Hey, man, do you own a couch?
Right, yeah.
Because apparently you're just like standing up the whole time. So why do you have a couch in your house? Like, what, you know?
Like, he also told me very bad things about Cam Newton. Apparently Cam Newton used to... go there when they were in town, and according to I'm not supposed to be telling this story, never mind.
It's okay, man. This is what people pay for.
So apparently Cam Newton is banned from the Cheetah
like
for life.
Sweet. I respect him more now. Awesome. I'm sorry for calling him Ma'am Newton all those times. that's rock and roll.
And not for any like, you know, reasons other than
it's because he got on the stage and started dancing.
No, apparently he didn't tip. He didn't tip, and like you're not supposed to not tip.
Oh, what? Okay, never mind.
It's like rule 101.
Retracted. What a non rock and roll way to get banned from a strip club because you're cheap.
Yeah. Right.
Like, you're, like, never mind. Like, that's like, yeah. That's
you can afford a dollar bill.
That's like Guns N' Roses getting kicked out of a hotel because they didn't pay for room service. No, it has to be they threw a TV through a window or something. You know, like
exactly.
It has to be something rock and roll. You can't. Don't be a wiener. Yeah, tip. What's wrong with you? Don't go to a strip club without the intention of spending money, especially when you're a Pro Bowl quarterback.
But also, if you're listening to us, our young faithful listeners, don't go to strip clubs. They're terrible.
Don't go to strip clubs. Honestly.
First of all, you're not going to be fulfilled.
No.
Even if you go for the reasons one might go as a young man, you will not be fulfilled. It's gross. It's disgusting. They smell bad, and you'll hate yourself.
People find this surprising about me, but I'm not a strip club fan. I'm not a strip club guy. I've never been. They're like, what? Really? Like, no,
I could have sworn.
I could have sworn you look like the guy that would. Okay, I get it. I get that. I look like the guy that would look. I don't know. It's weird and it's cringy because I'm around a bunch of weird truckers. You know, it's not my. Now, look, granted, if you're a millionaire football player, you're probably in strip clubs and places that I can't get to, you know, like top of the line in Vegas. And I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about like your roadside strip clubs. Just, I don't know, man. It's not.
Just don't go.
I feel weird. Yeah. Me and my group of friends were never like, hey, man, let's hit up the strip club. And I was like, hey, let's not and save some money and not have a bunch of girls finagle $20 bills out of our pockets. How about that?
Yeah. So don't go to strip clubs. I mean, that's all we got basically in this episode is just, that's why we actually made this episode was for this, just to tell everybody not to.
Some life advice, financial advice that Dave Ramsey is not going to give you.
Hey, did you have a good weekend and stuff?
I was all right. It was pretty uneventful. I introduced my wife to the movie Borat. She had never seen Borat. I was like, are you kidding me? We gotta watch this. It took her like 45 minutes to figure out what was going on because she had no idea what this was.
Really? Did she know who it was? Like, did she realize it was?
Yeah. I mean, she got it eventually. Like, I was like, this is like hidden camera stuff, and she was a little taken back at first, didn't know what to expect. Friday, we did a little thing because it's opening day. Got my favorite pizza place in a 12-pack of beer, and Daddy got to sit down and watch the Braves lose in boring fashion. And then we went out Saturday night to watch them actually win a ball game. So that was always nice. So.
I got to be honest. You know me. You know how salty I've been about the whole baseball 2020 COVID, situation. Right. But I'll admit, I watched Friday. Mm-hmm. I watched it. I'm not going to say I loved it. I'm not going to say it was like the best baseball experience I've ever had in my life. But I did enjoy it. It was nice to see baseball back. I watched baseball basically all day Saturday. Like, I watched the Reds. The A's. That was Saturday night, I think, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think was it Washington and the Yankees were on early. Brewers Cubs was the early
Brewers
game.
Brewers Cubs was a good game. I watched some of Yu Darvish. Yeah. Trevor Bauer looked amazing. I feel bad for any pitcher that pitches for the Reds. You just gotta your heart go like Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray is amazing, and Trevor Bauer, and they don't get any run support. They get like they got Joey Votto and like maybe one other guy.
I don't like Sonny Gray because his name is an oxymoron. From a weather standpoint, can't be both. I don't know. Are we gonna look by the time this episode comes out? We may not have baseball anymore. So, they had the COVID outbreak with the Marlins. My money was on the Mets, just that the Mets would screw this up for everybody. It was actually, it turns out it's the Marlins who are screwing it up for everybody, which is fantastic. Way to go, guys. Way to go.
Yeah.
And we'll see where this goes. But I don't know. It's a mess. I don't know how they're going to fix this. And
I got to be honest. I'm trying not to be that loud about it on Twitter because people are so freaking, and that I know that sounds silly coming from me, but really, honestly, because people are so freaking crazy and mean about COVID on Twitter. But I'm full on in like the Clay Travis camp on this whole subject because my thing is, and you know. And we can get down a rabbit hole, but I don't really want to. But, like, honestly, a baseball player is in more danger of getting into a car wreck on the way to the stadium or the seasonal flu than COVID. I mean, truly. I know, like, listen, I heard Freddie's interview. I get it. You know what I mean? But, like, most of these guys are asymptomatic. And that's the weird thing to me, too. Like, isn't that weird? Isn't that weird? Like, Juan Soto. Remember, we were talking about Juan Soto last week. Juan Soto tests positive, right?
Yeah.
And immediately, basically, they were like, you can't play yet. And then the team later that day, I guess for safe measure, gave him two tests. And he came out negative on both of those tests.
Yeah.
And then he just came back negative today. But the rule is he has to have, I think, one more negative test to be cleared. It's weird. It's just the whole testing is weird, dude.
Well, I had a head nurse when I went to the ER a few months ago. I got a COVID test, and I took one. It takes about 6 days to get back because they're way – now, and this may have changed, but the head nurse of the ER said we don't even have the rapid tests. Those, at the time, were only for inpatient in the hospital people, not just go to the ER. Uh-huh. Now, I think that's changed a little bit. They're more available, and maybe this has changed too, but she said they're highly inaccurate. You're about 60% accurate.
She said that.
Yeah.
Really?
So we can, if you even got one,
that is interesting.
The results may not be truthful. Now maybe they've gotten better at that, but according to the science behind it, there are certain things that they skip and they forego to try and give you a big guess. And that's why you see some guys that I tested negative, then I tested positive, then I tested negative again because of these rapid tests that aren't always spot on. But yeah. I think baseball too, they don't have to worry about people dying. I don't think that's their concern. I think it's risk versus reward. Like, it's already just a 60-game season. It already seems like kind of a BS season. Okay,
this is how Mike Rowe talks about it, basically. Yeah. Mike Rowe kind of has this viewpoint about it.
Yeah, and so they got to weigh that, and they also got to weigh the PR battle. You know, they have to weigh the court of public opinion. Do we look like a bunch of crazy people that are forcing these guys to play baseball when, like, people are coming down left and right with COVID?
Which is sad, because they're not really ill. I mean, truly, like, and you can't tweet these things because, like, the freaking right. Corona bros will just rip your face off.
No,
like,
they're not really ill, but they could get somebody else that could get really ill.
But who cares? That's what I'm saying. And well, again, like, obviously, like, they all care. And, like, my world is not their world. I mean, I get it. It's, you know, I ain't going to change anything, you know, little old me in this podcast and my Twitter account. But, like, really, who gives a crap? Like, shut up and play.
My thing is, wasn't the season built in with this scenario in mind, that this could happen? And that's why we have the 60-player pool. That's why we have these kind of things. Yeah. Because, you know, hey, you want your worst-case scenario. Well, now it's happening. Didn't we have it built in to account for that? You know, this is a very real case scenario. Like, we knew this would probably happen. Mm-hmm. And now it has. And I get. And part of the problem is logistics, because you've got the Marlins, who just left Philadelphia. Now the Yankees can't come into Philadelphia because they got to, like, fumigate that entire visitor's locker room. So you get into a logistical problem with, okay, well, their schedule's already tight because of the 60-game window. So it's a logistical scheduling problem as well. I mean, so it's not just like, hey, you know, like, where are you putting these games? Where are we – if they miss five games, what are we going to do, like – delay the playoffs for a week while we sit there and watch the Orioles and Marlins play four straight games, you know, to finish up their regular season?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe that's what they do, but I mean, it's not like this should be out of left field. Like they built in things to help with this. That's why we have the player pool it is.
I understand all that. I guess I'm still salty. Like, I've been salty since, like, I've literally been salty about this, JT, since the day that they announced that they're going to cancel the NCAA season. You know what I mean? Like, here's my hot take. And this, I really believe this, and people probably think I'm crazy. And I feel like we've lost some fans because of our views on this, which is fine, 'cause I think we've gained some others, but I really believe this. I think that if Hillary Clinton won in 2016, this thing would be called the bat flu. And I think that, like, CNN and Huffington Post and, you know, all those people, I think that they would barely cover it. And I think right now they'd be covering, like, gun control or something like that. And I think that, like, people like Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham would be crying about CNN not covering the bat flu. Mm-hmm. And I think the Braves would be, like, 16 games in first.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well,
I think Donald Trump broke people's brains and, like, I really believe that.
I believe there's a part of that that's true. There is a this Donald Trump and not to his own. I mean, look, part of this is Donald Trump is to blame. The fact that the media doesn't like him. He's done nothing to endear himself.
We're wearing masks in Walmart because of Donald Trump.
Right.
If you think about it.
Yeah. I mean, look, the media doesn't like him, and part of that is his doing. You know, he is. You know. He's outright called the media the enemy of the state. You know, he's outright said that. So I don't blame them for not liking him. But keep in mind, too, even without take politics out of it, the news, especially with a captive audience that's been indoors, watching more television than ever before because we've been indoors for 4 months, they have a lot to gain by keeping you indoors. From a rating standpoint, from a viewership standpoint, we have more people watching TV.
That's a good point.
And we have more news corporations out there ever. So it's not just about politics. It's about keeping them from switching the channel. That's why you'll hear about new cases. You'll hear about the 51 million tests that have been issued in America. 51 million people have been tested.
And the deaths, you know, declining.
And the deaths have been plummeting. Right. And the rate has stayed the same. People aren't testing positive at a higher rate. They're just more people getting tested. So, yes, is there politics involved? Of course. But even if you take politics out of it, Station A doesn't want you turning to Station B. So what's the best way to keep an audience that you know is watching television?
I agree with you. Keep them a little
scared. They're more likely to stay engaged. And so I do think there's a lot of that at play, because you've got people that have been watching. Why do you think Tucker Carlson all of a sudden has the highest rated news show? It's not just because Tucker's good at his job. There's also no sports or anything else to watch. You've got a captive audience that everybody's sitting at home watching TV because they're not out to dinner. They're not at a movie.
And by the same token, I read this today that opening night with the Nationals and Yankees was up 232% from last year. I mean, wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's something. And so I think there's a bit of that at play, too, where the news always has to keep you scared. If it bleeds, it leads. And that's not even taking politics into it. I'm just talking about your local news. Yeah.
Did you make that up? Or
I definitely did not. I've heard that.
It's incredible.
Like in college. But, you know, I mean, that's kind of how the news works. If fear keeps you engaged and keeps you from switching to their competition. And, you know, the local ABC affiliate doesn't want you watching it on the local CBS affiliate. And
It's sad, man.
Yeah, but again, everyone's better on the left and on the right if you just turn off the news. And I think that's why you saw baseball bring in record numbers, because, my God, I'm just tired of watching the news.
What do you mean by that? Explain to listeners, when you say everyone's better when they don't watch the news.
Because
I agree with you.
Because we are all being I don't want to say misled, but there's parts of the puzzle that are being left out. You're going to talk about the number of cases and all the cases, because that sounds scary, right? There's 9,000 new cases, but you're not talking about the number of tests that went out or the fact that the death rate is plummeting and things that will relieve people. Go, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. Or, oh, that's actually good news. Okay, I'm not as afraid anymore. I'll go out and get off my couch and stop watching TV, and maybe I'll go to the park or maybe I'll do things. Look, the news wants you sitting at home watching television. They're a television product, first and foremost. They are not a public service paid for by the government to give you just the facts. They're a television show. They're just like Good Morning America or MTV Cribs or whatever. They have ratings, and they're a television show. So their number one goal is to get people to watch their show. So do they have an agenda when it comes to keeping people inside and on the couch watching TV? Of course they do. They've got advertisers, and they want to have great ratings, and I don't blame them. That's part of their job. So, yeah, I think there's a part of the puzzle that people just aren't being told that it's not as bad as people make it out to be.
Mm-hmm.
Less people are dying of this than ever before.
Yeah.
People are testing. There are more cases.
Children are almost immune. Past week, the CDC like comes out and kind of vehemently says, hey guys, we're the CDC, and we're saying that like kids should go back to school. Yeah, I mean, it's all good. Like, they have almost no chance of getting it.
I'm not telling people how to feel. If you are afraid of coronavirus, if you're afraid, and that's fine, that's your right. But I'm just saying, in my opinion, I don't feel that we get the whole picture. And I only say that because having worked in industries with radio and television, that I'm telling you,
it really makes people mean, and it really, and I'm the world's worst. I think honestly, JT, from the beginning of this, and I think, or at least I hope, and maybe I'm not, but I feel like I'm kind of coming out of it, over the last few weeks, you know, because I've just made some changes in my life and everything, but I was so inundated with it, and it would make me so mad and mean, and it would affect my mood, and like, and all I want to do is dunk on people, and like, you know, I mean, I make fun of the COVID police, but I'm just as bad as they are, you know. Yeah. When I see somebody posting something that I think's stupid, I'm there with the other side, and I'm just, and I get this rush from it, and then I went to church Sunday for like, you know, I finally found a church, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this feels great. This is like, I'm unplugged. There was no cell phone service at this particular location, like way up Winkler's Creek Road. And it was fantastic.
You say that, like, we're all familiar with Winkler's Creek. Is that owned by Henry Winkler, the Fonz?
I don't think so.
Is it owned by Dan Winkler? I don't think so. Former Atlanta Braves relief
pitcher? Probably. Okay. Probably. Makes sense. Yeah.
I miss having Dan Winkler on the team, because whenever he did well, he had to tweet out a Fonzie.
Was he the guy that broke his elbow, that snapped his elbow?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I saw him at Chop Fest or something a couple years ago, I think. I think that was him.
I mean, yeah, he played for the Braves, so.
No, I think I saw him this year, because he was going to come back, right?
That's a boggy question.
That's a boggy question. I don't think Boggy listens anymore.
Oh, well, see, here's what happened. Today, we're recording this Monday night. Right now, we're getting our we're getting curb stomped by the Rays. And I want to blame my friend Boggy because I woke up to a text without any sort of, like, hey, knock
first of all, first of all, stop right there. You're getting direct information from Boggy.
Yeah.
Like, how did... So he's texting you, like, it's information Boggy. Now.
Yeah, we have each other's numbers. We know each other. We're, you know, we're friends.
That's a big deal.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So, listen, okay, Mr. Michael Kelly, I have cool people texting me too, all right? Before tonight, Braves team ERA, 1.29. And then tonight happened. Thanks, Boggy. I'll put that on you. I think we've given at least 14 you these things tonight. Yeah, I forwarded these stats to you.
I remember that.
Yeah, so, well, that was his one today, and I was like, oh, man, our pitching's been awesome. And then.
Maybe he's just not tweeting him or something.
I'm just telling you what I woke up to a text from Boggy about the team ERA and perfect timing because that number has changed after tonight.
So. Yeah.
But who knows? I mean, look, honestly, this could be – by the time you're hearing this, I could be talking about the last Braves game of the year. Who knows?
Is Fulte a head case? Like, let's just take the gloves off.
Okay. I don't want to ruffle any feathers. Okay. We've had this happen before on Twitter where people get upset that we say head case. What we mean by head case, I'm not talking about his mental state. I'm not talking about his mental health at all. I mean, on the pitching mound, can he rattle himself? Yes.
For those that are just tuning in, like when JT was on Twitter, either me or you or both, we had called Fulte a head case and someone from another podcast got really upset.
Really?
We were disrespecting his mental health.
I'm not making a joke about mental health at all. I'm just saying that he, what I mean by head case, and this is something we've said about pitchers for long before Fulte and long after.
Yeah, pitchers.
Have a tendency
all
to get, well, yeah, most of them are, but they have he has a tendency to unravel a little bit and let things get to him. Hence the back-to-back-to-back homers and then the back-to-back homers he gave up in this game. You know, Mike Minor, when he started with the Braves, reminded me that, like, you could tell, uh-oh, like, he'd walk a guy and you could see in his body language, like, uh-oh, here we go, and the snowball starts rolling downhill.
Mm-hmm. And then he goes somewhere else and becomes amazing.
Yeah. And then you have guys like Mike Soroka who you don't, like, nothing bothers him. Like, I could be like, hey, Mike, your whole family just died in a mineshaft explosion. He'd just be like, oh,
it's game
sucks.
Time.
And then he'd go out and throw like six scoreless. Like nothing bothers him.
I feel like Tom Glavine was like that. You know, John Smoltz admits that he was kind of a head case.
Oh yeah, he definitely was.
I think Maddox was a freak. Nothing could affect him. Glavine was kind of like that too. But most pitchers are just. They're just all up in their heads. Fulte needs to get off Twitter, dude. Like last week, did you see?
Yeah, we responded to Mark Bowman. Yeah. I was telling my dad about that because my dad is like I'm not on the Fulte train. Like last year was rough. He hasn't shown good signs this year. Like I'm not sold on him. And my dad's been on way before. Like he's been on this for 3 years. This kick of like Fulte needs to be a closer. He can't sustain it over the long term. And I get his point because he's got really good stuff.
Yeah,
and you're just limiting the exposure of him. Like over five innings, you have a better chance of him having a bad inning, whereas just one inning.
Right?
Can you focus? Can you narrow that focus down? And I was like, yeah, that's a good point. He's got the closer type stuff. You know what I mean when I hear closer stuff? Like it's movement. It's dominating.
The hard fastball.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Except for tonight,
he's not a soft tosser. He's a really physical pitcher. So he's been on that for a long time and I brought that up to him and he had saw that and if you're going to let tweets by beat writers who are paid to be critical of the team. Sometimes,
well, not just beat writers.
He wasn't even being fans, that critical.
Fans just, too. Like he gets all up in his feels about fans giving him a hard time on Twitter. I'm like, dude, and then you have the far left Braves Twitter who get really mad and they'll tweet things like, you know, if you're saying mean things about Fulte, you're the worst, you know. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I want to tell him, like, y'all, like, pitchers have been heckled since 1871. You know, if you can't, maybe you should get off Twitter, Fulte.
I think that we have too much Southern hospitality because Imagine telling people in Philly or Boston or New York, hey, man, shit.
Oh, my gosh. Players. Can you imagine?
They'd be like, dude, what are you talking about? Like, we pay our money for these seats and I can do what I want. Like I demand a certain product. When I pay to see a movie and the movie sucks, I have a right to be like, man, that movie sucked. I paid my money and I'm mad that I'm out $12.50 for my movie ticket, right? And like I know, like our buddy John Howard is in the camp where you shouldn't boo your own players. And I get that. That's fine. That's his right. You do what you want. And, but as long as you're not violating the things that will get you kicked out of the stadium.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, if I pay the money, I demand a certain product. So if you can be upset with your own guys, now I'm not saying like go and drop F-bombs and telling them like, you know, to go like, you know, jump in front of a train or anything like that. Like, don't take it too far. But yeah, you have a right to be upset when your guys aren't pitching well. And I want to be a Folty fan. I want him to go out there and kick butt. And so I can be like, man, I was wrong. Folty turned it around. But, you know, playoff game left a sour taste in my mouth, and he hasn't really shown much since then. And, dude, I want him to do well. I want the Braves to do well. Like, I want Folty to do well. But right now, I mean, I'm not, not high on him.
Everybody listening should read this book. It's one of the best books I've read in recent years. It's called The Crackers, Early Days of Atlanta Baseball by Tim Darnell. It's an amazing book about the Atlanta Crackers and the culture. And just so you know, the Atlanta Crackers were one of the most successful minor league teams like ever. I didn't know this till I read this book, but they won. They were like the champions like all the time from like the 20s through like the 60s. They were amazing. And they played at Ponce de Leon Park. They called it Ponce. A lot of older people listening to us.
It's across from the Murder Kroger.
There you go. Yep. And and the Black Crackers would play there. They were the Negro League team, and that was what they were called, the Negro Leagues, in case anyone was freaking out. You know, any young socialists. It's literally the name of the league. It was called the Negro Leagues. Anyways, it gives you a glimpse into what life was like in like the 40s and the 50s, and how people were tougher, in my opinion, and just like baseball fans would bet during the game. Like we would go to a game, JT, in like 1951. We'd go see the Crackers play, and we'd be smoking some stogies and betting on plays and stuff and talking all kinds of junk and heckling the players and stuff like that.
With our fedoras and, on.
With our fedoras, for sure.
Yeah.
But heckling, I've got a very liberal view on heckling. I think that like the 40-year-old on Twitter getting all up in his feels and maybe like cussing out Folty or something. I think that person's ridiculous.
Yeah,
and stupid.
Don't send a tweet. Don't be a weirdo.
No, don't be a weirdo.
Send a tweet. But if you want to yell from your seat, like if he's getting taken out of the game after giving up 8 runs in 3 innings, and you go, "Oh, you bum!"
Bum. Whatever. Like, I'm a huge fan of bum. You bum. Now, personally, like I don't do it, but like I appreciate, just as a baseball purist. A self-proclaimed baseball historian. I'm a huge fan of being at a game and hearing some old fart, you know, saying, "Hey, you bum!
Oh,
take him
best.
Out, you bum!" It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of trash.
Don't send a tweet. Don't egg their house. Don't do anything weird.
Yeah, like, don't anything weird. But like, bum, you suck is fine. It's fine. Using the F-bomb because there's kids, you know. Stupid.
Yeah. Don't be dropping F bombs. Don't do anything like that. But can you imagine if Folty went to like the Phillies? Like,
he would cry.
If he got traded for the Phillies.
He would have to go. He would have to go
to make up for it, right? Yeah. I mean, and I'm just saying, their fans are brutal up there. They're brutal to their own people. I mean, because they demand like a level of success. We're too nice. We're too polite.
We're way too polite. And it's kind of a. It's not just Atlanta though. It's like, I mean, it's kind of culture. A lot, unless you're New York or it's just South probably. Maybe out West too, but I don't know. Do you remember Chase Utley's debut game?
No.
By any chance?
I don't. That was, 97? I mean, he's been playing forever.
No, he's not that old. No, it was like,
whatever.
It was like 08 maybe 07, something like that. But I didn't watch it. I just remember watching like Baseball Tonight after, like that night or something, and Chase Utley was interviewed after the game, and he strikes out in his first at bat, and they boo his ass to the dugout. And then
I think that's also like in jest too. I think that's kind of like Philly kind of embraces that. You know, like, welcome to Philly. This is what we're going to do.
Yeah, he was kind of laughing about it. And then he got the game-winning hit, I think. Or he either got the game-winning hit or he got a hit, a meaningful hit later in the game. And he said that, like, and they were just, it was a standing O.
Yeah, I think they went away.
And he's like, and that's when I knew I was in Philly. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Anyways.
Give me 1 second. I'll be right back. Give me 1 second. Can't get this out. Hold on. I just got to run real quick. I'll be right back.
You got to pee. Okay. No, just shake your prostate or something. I think JT should check his prostate because he pees a lot, you know? You guys can't see this, but JT's man cave is a weird combination of Tampa Lightning swag, Georgia Bulldog swag, and Braves swag. It's very interesting. Yeah. He's got a Fromm jersey, a blanket chip jersey. I guess that's, is that the kicker with the glasses? It's not West Blankenship. I know that. And then Sony Michel jersey, all framed. And then it looks like it's a Tampa Lightning blanket, or throw, as they call it. Oh, maybe. I hear his baby crying. Maybe he's actually leaving to check on the baby. No, he's probably peeing because he makes Mallory check on the baby. Or me if he's hanging out with me. Hey, Ken, you should not edit this out. This is pure gold. Also, JT is not inebriated this week, which makes it much easier to do the podcast just on a personal level because the last week was a shit show. You know, we had Drin on. It was awesome. He was pretty coherent, but JT not so much. But I think that JT stopped drinking after the first hour. So I think the second hour, which was around the majors, wasn't that bad. It honestly wasn't that bad. He kind of sobered up a little bit. Also, he's drinking light beer. So, you know.
Crying baby.
Oh, hello. Oh, crying baby. Okay. That's what I thought. That's what I thought. That's what I told everybody.
I wanted to make sure he's teething. You're a great dad. And it's, well, I just want to make sure everything was okay. It's pretty hellacious teething time. So.
Yep, went through that. You're a great dad. I knew that's what it was. Teething is a bitch.
Oh, it sucks. Nothing makes him happy. I think he's a little constipated, too. So, give him some Pedialyte, see if the citric acid will kind of get those pipes going. And
man, I don't miss that phase at all.
Oh,
when
no.
When Brindley was that phase, it felt like everybody that I knew was always telling me, cherish these moments. This is the best time. You can cuddle with them. And I'm like, what the hell are y'all talking about? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't play with them yet. All you do is give them Pedialyte, and they're sick almost all the time.
Yeah.
They catch stomach bugs, and they get colds, and they're just always crying. They're teething. It's terrible.
Yeah, there's nothing I enjoy about this process. Like, just miserable. Nothing makes me calm, and just, meh, you know, it's constant. And then there's the baby.
Oh, right. And then there's the baby, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow. So, do you think they're going to cancel baseball? Is it going to get weird? Is it going to get crazy? Are they going to panic? Or are we cool? Are we safe?
I think we're cool. The thing is, they got to figure out a way logistically to make it work. And that's the problem. Is you can't have multiple teams postponing multiple games. Because you only have so many days in a season.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, I don't know. Like, how do you, because they can't have the Yankees, is the Yankees that couldn't travel into Philly now? And then, so the Orioles are screwed, the Marlins are screwed, the Phillies are screwed, the Yankees are screwed. And so the ripple effect, you know, and if this reaches into the next series, then you got more teams that are screwed. You know, and I don't know, man. I'm glad I don't have to figure out, like, scheduling and all that kind of stuff. Like on the whole, should they cancel it? No. It's not like half the league has COVID or something like that. But from, like, a logistical standpoint, it makes it really, really difficult to do all this traveling and reshuffling of the schedule that they just like made up 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So I could see it being like, is this worth it? Is this worth the pain in the butt of like all this? And honestly, like, what did they pull the players? And the players are like 75% like, dude, we don't want to do this. Like, we tried. We gave it our A+.
See, I think you'd have the opposite reaction from the players. Just from what I've heard. I've talked to Marksberry a little bit. I think the players and coaches, for the like the vast majority, are like, let's just play.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give a crap about social justice. I just want to play baseball. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's most of the players.
But the more and more teams that have to postpone games and more teams that have this, the bigger the asterisk next to the season gets anyway.
That is true. That's true.
You know, yeah. we won the division. And the Phillies would be like, yeah, we had to cancel five games.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's the weirder it gets, the more no one's going to give a damn who wins the World Series anyway. They're just going to be thankful we got the season over and, like, no one died.
Yeah. Oddly enough, just because, you know, I'm not 100% invested in baseball anyways, just because of, you know, not to open up the can of worms again, but just because of the no fans and the cardboard fans and the fake noise. I mean, I'm enjoying it. It's better than nothing. You know what I mean? But because I'm not 100% invested in it like I am normally, I'm like super worried about football, my second love, more than I am about baseball. Like I'm so emotionally looking forward to the possibility of watching football more so than I've ever been in my life, just because of this whole year, you know?
Yeah.
And, I'm just worried about football, man. First of all, like, even if they best case scenario, it's still going to suck. I think with the whole, like, in conference game, like, what is even the logic behind that? You're saying it's safe to go from like Jacksonville, Florida to, you know, Athens, Georgia, but it's not safe to go from Athens, Georgia to Atlanta, Georgia.
Right.
Or if, you know what if, I mean? Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's stupid. Like, just shut up and play, or just don't play.
Well, here's the pro and con. The con is that baseball, you can be socially distant just based on the sport. Football, clearly you're going to be closer to other people. And so you have that aspect. Now, the pro is you don't have the travel that you do in baseball. If you test positive on Monday, you can miss the next week's game. And by the time the next game rolls around, you've been about 2 weeks in quarantine. You should be good to go for the next game. So there is the travel aspect, which is not as hectic as it is in baseball, where you're going from here to here to here to here to here. You've got 6 days in between to self-quarantine. Maybe you have to miss the next game, but you're only missing a game, you know, if you do the two-week quarantine thing. So so there is that. Now, the problem is, what if you have 20 guys test positive after a game? What do you do?
I mean, well, you know the answer to that. Like, my answer is, well, you don't do a damn thing, because who gives a crap, because they're all asymptomatic anyways. You just get on with your life. But I understand that's not the reality.
The reality is you can't let anybody with a positive test play. They have to go into quarantine and stuff. So that's the thing.
It's crazy. We've lost so many. We've lost more minds than lives.
I get that. It's crazy. An active NFL roster on a Sunday has 54 active players. If you have 10, you've lost a fifth of your team. If 10 of them, how are you going to field a team? You know, if 10 of them have to miss the next game, and it's only a game. I mean, they can miss a game. They can realistically miss a game and be fine and come back.
In football, obviously. Yeah,
I mean, you're playing with 44 guys against a team.
I just wish Hillary won, because we wouldn't be dealing with this shit.
There is a part of me that thinks, man, it would be really refreshing if every sports league was just like, we're punting till next year. We'll see y'all then. We'll be ready to go. And then you could be, okay, at least we can quit talking about it. You know, although NBA and hockey are about to get record numbers because those guys being in the bubble, they don't have to travel. So, like, they can go. They're ready to roll.
Yeah, but see, because let me tell you, I know what I'm talking about. Just kidding. I predict they'll still have positive cases in those situations.
I think these tests,
to your point, I mean, you said it earlier, I think a lot of these tests are a bunch of BS, man. I mean, how does Juan Soto test positive? and then two negatives the same day. It's just it's stupid. It doesn't make any sense.
But other than, well, what the NBA and the NHL have is they've got everybody locked into the same cities, locked into hotels.
No, I know.
And what
I
else
get
can
all
you
that,
do?
But
like, the stuff will still happen.
You can't.
But you can't
it
cover
will.
Your butt
it,
any better be, than that. And, you know,
can't.
Have everybody self-quarantined.
You're right. You
kind of like the Olympics.
And they'll, I agree. You can't do anything better other than not play at all. You've covered all your bases, and you're still going to have positive cases, which proves you can't do anything about it. You just live your life. Just live your life and open up the dang country, you know?
Yeah. I'm just excited to see the Tampa Bay Lightning win the Stanley Cup. That's really where my mind is.
Hey, when does the NHL like playoffs start, by the way? I was gonna
August 3rd, I believe. They've got a couple exhibition games. I think
sweet,
August
sweet.
3rd.
I know the Canes, that, my team, the Canes.
The Lightning play in a round robin. The top four play in a round robin to determine seeding, and then the other eight in the conference. So it's a lot of people making the playoffs. It's like 24 teams.
Okay.
So it's pretty cool. So they'll be playing a few games starting, I think, 3rd. Which there's Toronto and Edmonton, so they're all in Canada. Uh-huh. Should be fun. Should be good. Stanley Cup playoffs are actually like really cool, even if you don't have a dog in the fight. Like, it's really, you know, they care. Like, you know.
Hockey in general. I mean, Ken Hendricks isn't here to poo-poo on this, but we need to tell the people, like, because I got into hockey like 3 years ago. My buddy Ben up here got me into him, into the Canes.
Yeah.
And it, you know, the idea, you know, the Kens of the world are like, it's low scoring, therefore it's not exciting.
No, not used to be. They've changed it, yeah.
Yeah, it is high energy, fluid, very very fast and fluid. It's a lot of fun. If you've got a local team,
it's a two-hour, like, boom, boom, boom. You can get through a game in no time. It's not a four-hour marathon.
I love the season because it's not like, it's kind of like an NBA length-ish. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
it's not
it
like,
is. 82 games.
I mean, I love baseball, but, to me, like, baseball is it's overkill. It's like, you're talking about, like, end of February, spring training, all through October, you know, and I get burnt out in August. I just do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, NHL, it's just like, it's long, but it's not too long. It's not too short.
It's the perfect amount.
You know? And the series, I think they have like smaller series, so it's not every night. So it's like, there'll be a couple games.
It's much like the NBA, where you may play Tuesday and Friday, and then maybe Saturday. Right. Maybe you have a back-to-back, and then, you know, Monday. To be honest with you, if the Hawks get good and start winning games, people need to pay attention. Trey Young, at the point guard for the Hawks, is one of the top five most exciting players in the league.
I've thought
dude
about getting into
awesome.
The Hawks this year. Really?
They got new jerseys. They're going to look awesome. I'm telling you, they're
going
to be okay.
I love the new jerseys. I saw them. They're very that 90s
throwback.
Hawk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know it's hard to get excited about a team that's record-wise is you know pretty dismal. But they have one of the best exciting young players in the league. They got a bunch of other young guys. Next year, because the Hawks aren't a part of the playoff format for the NBA, but next year, I'm telling you, guys should start getting invested in the Atlanta Hawks, because when it's fun, NBA is a really, really good product, and that's why the ratings are, you know, through the roof. NBA is a very well-watched product, and when your team is good, it makes it really, really fun. NBA playoffs always do really well in TV ratings, so.
Yeah.
They have a bunch of stars. The NBA does a great job of marketing their people.
I hope they don't walk off the court like those WNBA dorks did.
They did that? I'm not really follow WNBA, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't either, but this video went viral on Twitter. Basically, the opening game or whatever it was, like Sunday, it was the Seattle Storm.
Storm? I think it's the Storm.
Yeah. Against the New York Liberty.
Liberty.
And
Rebecca Lobo played for the New York Liberty back in the day.
Okay. See, You know more than me already. So they come out. It's the opening game of the opening of the new season or whatever, right? And they come out. They line up on the sides of the courts. The national anthem starts playing, and they all organized a walk-off. They walked off during the national anthem. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Super woke. Super woke.
Again,
and that video Twitter video of that happening, I think, is going to have more views than their entire season.
I've always thought WNBA stood for worse NBA.
Yeah.
just a word. I go back to my thing. Why are we even doing the national anthem at sporting events? Like we don't have to prove our patriotism to be a part of watching sports.
I hear you. I know.
You would take so many headaches out if we just
you
didn't.
Would. Yeah.
Had everybody in the locker rooms and the fans stood up and did the Pledge of Allegiance and then the guys came out. Like, it's easy to. That's an easy solution. Like.
Yeah,
then you
I
don't
hear
have to
you.
Worry about all these headaches, you know? Like,
I hear you, but you know? I just want everybody to think like me and be patriotic and do it.
I agree, but like I don't think I need to prove my patriotism just because I go to a basketball
know, I do,
game.
But it's
you know, like,
to me, it's tradition. I like it's like it's just tradition.
I get it, and I'm fine with it. But I mean, if they stopped it, it wouldn't like I don't need to show that I love my country by standing up before I watch a basketball game. You know what I mean?
I understand. I understand. Because
like, I don't
I
do this regularly. I'll be honest with you. I don't do this every day at my house.
Well,
it's
sure,
not like we
yeah.
play the national anthem at
but
home
again, but
and
it's
me
just
and my kids
tradition.
Stand there.
It's tradition.
Yeah.
There are some things you do in some situations that you don't do in other situations just because of no reason at all.
Maybe
like,
if you just do it at the Olympics, then it will mean like even more. It will be like really poignant if you only do it like at the Olympics.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, you know?
Yeah.
Because think about it. If the national anthem is that important to people, and people mm-hmm. claim it's that important, mm-hmm. why aren't people putting it on their Siri, play the national anthem, and before they eat breakfast in the morning, everybody's standing up in their living rooms and doing it? I'm just making a point here to, like, we say it's really, really important, but then why do we only do it at live sporting events?
Because it's fun.
It is fun, and I'm fine with it, but people act like it's sacrosanct, and I'm like, well, then you should be doing it all the time.
Well, then, I mean, you can say that about a lot of stuff, like church or something, you know? Like, why do you do certain things only at church? You don't do those things, like, Monday night. It's because it's tradition.
Well, I'm just saying, if I don't go to a sporting event all year, then I have not stood for the national anthem all year.
Well, that's all
you. I know. And I'm just saying, like, you know, and I'm a patriotic dude, but, like, I don't have to, you know, I don't know. I just think they would avoid so many headaches if they just said, hey, everybody hang out in the locker room, the fans will do the national anthem, and then all the players come out on the field. There you go.
Yeah.
Easy peasy.
I don't know.
Don't have to worry about it. And y'all do whatever. You, I don't know. That's just my thing.
I do like, I got to give a shout out to Pete Alonso for wearing the Love Your Neighbors
I like that.
Shirt. It was a Bible verse, Mark something.
Yeah, I like Pete. Something. I don't want to like Pete, but I like Pete. I don't want to like him, though.
Yeah, I like him.
He's a stop.
He's a good
guy. I want to hate him. He's a Gator. He's a Met. I don't like him.
I kind of like him now. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I got to order that Pete Alonso jersey now.
We should invite him on the podcast. He'll probably come.
We'll reach out to Pete Alonso and see if we can get to him. I don't think he's very busy right now.
Well, I think this concludes our first episode without Ken. I guess it'd be our second episode without Ken.
We've done a few. Okay, this is the first one. We usually, when Ken's gone, he usually has to come back and be like, guys, what did you do? Like, I think we behaved well on this
one. Well, I mean, I've been going to church and stuff, so it's, you know.
You toned down your rhetoric, which is nice.
I have, yeah.
You're not as vulgar as you tend to be. You said less cuss word. I don't think you've cussed this entire time.
I think I said shit.
Oh,
once.
Well, you just did there. Okay, so that's it.
Yeah.
It's good. Good for you. You know, sometimes when we do a show alone, you're talking about presidential penises. That's happened
right.
before.
That's true. That's true.
You don't
but to my defense, that was all factual. That was all factual. Like,
no,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because LBJ literally nicknamed his pecker Jumbo. That's you can Google it.
Google LBJ's pecker. See what comes up. You might get the time that LeBron James accidentally showed his ding-dong on TV. So that's
wait, did he really?
Yeah. He was in a timeout, and the camera was there, and he was like adjusting his shorts, and you definitely saw a little dong flippage in there.
No.
Look, if you want to Google it, you're more than welcome to, my friend. But it's there. He definitely, he's like adjusting his, and I was like, oh, whoop. That was something in there. That's a real thing that happened.
No way.
Yeah, he's fantastic. And he's just like tucking in his jersey, but you definitely see something in there. And, so that's something you probably didn't think you guys would be hearing tonight. But yeah, it's a
only on the Knockomination podcast show.
Yeah.
If you would like to support
LeBron's accidental slippage on TV.
Yeah. Listen, if you'd like to support the show, which, I mean, you should, because we're the only right-leaning baseball podcast, I think, in the whole country.
Well, LeBron also was a little right-leaning, if I remember from the video, so.
How many times have you watched this video, JT?
Today, or... I'm just kidding. I saw it in the game.
Listen, go to patreon.com/Knockahomination and just think about supporting your favorite replacement level podcast. I think we're up to 20 patrons, which is more than most, but not as many as many others. And we'd appreciate it. It keeps us going and it allows us to bring you more content. And it gives us legitimate excuses to do this because we've got wives. And what does that mean? We have people nagging us, trying to shut us down, you know, telling us that we need to spend time with them.
Yeah.
And we know what's more important. And that's bringing you the content we bring to you each week. I don't need to be in there with her. JT no. doesn't need to be in there with Mallory. We need to be here with you guys every week, teaching you the ways of the world. And the best way to do that is to support us, patreon.com/knockomination, as we continue to fight socialism and WRC+.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement level podcast. Knockahomination is brought to you by Knockahomination patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/knockahomination. For new episodes and content, visit knockahomination.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Options Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.